So again, happy Father's Day to all of you. And I do hope that you'll have a great opportunity to reflect on our fathers today. And so I came across this list of what a child would say at different stages of his or her life. And it's kind of interesting, so I'm going to share this with you. So at age 4, a child may say, "My dad knows everything." At age 8, he may say, "My dad is really smart." I love it when they're that age. At 12 years old, a child may say, "My dad probably doesn't know that." At age of 16, he or she says, "My dad is absolutely clueless." Age 21, a child may say, "A dad is pretty out of touch. My dad is pretty out of touch." At 30 years old, "I'd like to find out what dad thinks." At the age of 40, "Let's get dad's opinion before we make a decision." At the age of 50, "I wish I can ask dad about it. He's pretty smart." At the age of 60, "You're no longer a child anymore, but a person may say, "My dad knew absolutely everything." Don't you love it when kids are like between 4 and 60? The best, or not between, at the age of 4 and when they get to 60. At age 70, a person may say, "I'd give anything if dad would hear. I really miss him." How many of you can relate to some of this as a child speaking about your father? Or as a father thinking, this is what your child says about you? I know that I can relate to this. My son is about 25, 26 years old, so he falls into that category of right there. So sometimes he does think, "Dad is pretty out of touch." But then other times he'll say, "You know, I like to find out what dad thinks." So I'm right into that almost sweet spot there. Now, it's true though, isn't it? It's not until we get older or we become fathers ourselves that we can truly appreciate what our fathers had to go through when they raised us. Let's take a closer look at today's passage that was read earlier. Actually, I don't think it was read earlier. No. It was read in the Cantonese service. You know what? Let's take opportunity now to read the passage this morning. Can I grab a bulletin insert from someone? Thank you. Let's look at this together. Okay. I knew you forgot something, Jats. Anyways, this is what Ephesians 6, 1 to 4 says. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your child or your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, there's a word here for both children and fathers. First, a word to children. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Paul urges us as children to obey our parents in the Lord. That is, to obey our parents as to the Lord. Or to put it another way, to obey our parents as if we would obey the Lord. Why? Because parental authority is God-given. It comes from God. It's not something that parents are entitled to. Just because you become a parent doesn't mean you're entitled to this authority. It's given to them by God so that they can steward their child. So as long as what they ask us to do is not unbiblical, it's not immoral, it's not unethical, it's not against the law, it's not unreasonable, our God-given responsibility as children and as believers in Christ is to obey our parents. Now, that may seem hard for some of us to do because our culture, our society does not encourage this. And so, if we're having a hard time doing this, obeying our parents, could it be that it is also an issue with us obeying God? I'll just ask this question and I'll leave it there for you to ponder upon, to reflect upon between you and the Lord. So first, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. And then second, Ephesians 6 verses 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So children are not just to obey their parents, but to honor them, to love them, to give recognition to them, to show proper respect for them. But how do we do this in a practical way? Well, first, for those of us who love our phones and we love listening to music, you know, for those of us who like that, we should take our earphones off when they're speaking to us. We can give them their full attention. We can pour tea. You know, when you go for dim sum, you can pour tea for them, right? We can ask if they like a snack. And if you're really enthusiastic, you can ask them if they want them to peel them a fruit, peel them an apple or an orange. Now, when you ask them that, they may ask you, okay, how much money do you want? Something is not right here. Ask them how their day was. Share your life with them. You know, listen to them. Spend time with them. Go for dinner with them. You know, or better yet, cook dinner for them. When they request to be a friend on Facebook, say yes and answer yes. Help them with their computer questions, their computer problems. I know that's what I do. I do that all the time. And my son gives me this real look. Hey, Dad, that's so simple. Another way to care for our parents is to look after them in their old age. And as we do so, we respect, we honor them for who they are, for what they've done for us. As well, it passes on an important value to the next generation. I mean, if we want our children to treat us well when we get old, it would be wise for us to set an example for them to follow. Don't you agree? And I know some of you do this really well. You honor your parents. You honor your moms and you honor your dads. You look after them in their old age as best as you can, as best as you're able to. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to do so. You know, I'm truly humbled after speaking with some of you how sacrificial your love really is for your parents. And there's a promise here to go with it as well. It says in verse 3, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And so Paul has a word for children here, to obey your parents in the Lord, and to honor your fathers and mothers. Second, he also has a word to fathers. In addressing fathers, Paul says in verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, this is our spiritual responsibility as a father towards our children. We're not to exasperate them. That is, we're not to provoke them to anger by coming down hard on them. Would it be excessive discipline? Whether it be setting unrealistic goals, whether it be neglecting them or showing favoritism to others, or whether it be discouraging them. You know, I have a very good father. Sometimes as fathers, we do not realize the consequences of our words, of our approval, or even of our non-approval. When I was about 11 or 12 years old, you know, I decided to wash my dad's car one day, you know, without him even asking me to do so. And this was back in the 70s, okay? 1970s, where cars were the size of boats. They were huge. And my dad had a Lincoln Continental Town car. This was like a large, large car. Anyways, I spent 2 hours washing and waxing his car in the summer sun. You know, buffing it and scrubbing it until it became extremely clean and shiny, you know, wax on, wax off kind of thing. after being totally tired from doing that, I went inside and I told my dad, "Dad, I just washed your car." And so he came out to look at what I'd done. And I was hoping that he would notice what a good job I had done. And he would be proud of me. You know, especially, I initiated this on my own. He didn't even ask me to do this. But instead of thanking me for a job well done, he began to point out the areas that I had missed at the very bottom of the car. Underneath the door, there's a spot there you missed. Oh, spot by the wheel you missed. Oh, don't forget the other side. You missed that spot too. Needless to say, I felt very discouraged. I felt deflated. I was exasperated. You see, Paul recognizes just how delicate a child's personality is. Fathers can misuse their position of authority by making unreasonable demands, a harshness that provokes anger. You know, God knows how important fathers are to a child's upbringing. That's why he warned fathers to not exasperate your children, to not embitter them. So first, he says, do not exasperate your children. Second, he says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The verb here Paul uses to bring up means to feed, you know, to nourish, to cherish, to nurture. We're to deal with them gently because they're fragile and they need the tenderness and the security of love. The unconditional love that God shows towards us is the kind of love that we're to show our children. Nothing will cause our child's personality to blossom more than the positive encouragement of a loving, of a nurturing father. Now, Paul is not saying that we should not discipline our children. In fact, we shouldn't neglect our responsibility to discipline them and to train and instruct them in the way of the Lord. But we should never discipline our child when we're frustrated with them, or when our pride has been hurt, or when we lose our temper because we've had a bad day, or we're taking our stress or anger out on them. And as a young father, there'll be times when my impatience, my frustration, my stress, my tiredness, my anxiety got the best of me. And I would lash out in anger at my son for the apparent wrong that he did. And there are times when I was not being fair, putting my son down, not admitting my fault in the situation, and not saying sorry, but expecting him to do so. Someone once said this: when you're disciplining a child, you should first have controlled yourself. What right have you to say he needs discipline when you obviously need it yourself? Self-control, control of our temper, is a prerequisite in the control of others. Paul speaks about training and instructing in righteousness. It's more than just teaching, more than just learning the facts. It's about the formation of a person. You see, we're always correcting our children, aren't we? Saying things like, when we're your age, we could do this, or why aren't you doing that? But we need to show them how. We need to be an example to them. Now, besides teaching them how to throw a football, which is important in life, how to fly a kite, how to ride a bike, how to fish, how to drive and how to change a tire, how to pan fry a steak perfectly. Totally crucial in my mind. We need to also be an example to them with our prayer life. having faith and trust in the Lord and not in ourselves, not in our own accomplishments. When they're young, do family devotions with them. Allow the Word of God to grow and to take root in their hearts. The Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 9, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, talk to them about God in the everyday things of life. Teach them how to behave when you're frustrated at work with an overly demanding boss or a colleague. Show them how you act towards those who mistreat you, who scheme against you. Do these things. Train and instruct your children in the daily things of life. As you're coming, as you're going, let them see your faith and your relationship with Christ every day and not just on Sundays. And of course, when I say these things to you, I'm saying them first and foremost to myself. You know, some of you have really encouraged me quite a bit in this way. I see how you spend time teaching your children. They learn. They want to learn. They want to obey. Give them opportunity to obey. Make it easy for them to obey. Don't come down hard on them or exasperate and embitter them, but instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Eugene Peterson said this in the Message version of the Bible. He translated this way, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master." I really like this last verse. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Share them the challenges and the difficulties and the failures that you've had. Times when you've totally messed up. And how you found grace, how you found mercy at the foot of the cross. How your cries and your prayers were answered by the Lord. You know, we don't need to be perfect examples. But we need to be real, transparent, and authentic examples to our children. I'll say you're sorry. Admit when you're wrong. Ask for their forgiveness. Encourage them and be their greatest cheerleader. This past month, we had an opportunity to attend our son's graduation. I don't know why they do this, but they have it over 2 days. The first graduation was a hooding ceremony at QE Theater, and it was full of people, like thousands and thousands of people. And I had it in my mind that when Chris crossed the stage, you know, I would cheer him on, right? But because there's so many people at QE Theater, I chickened out when he walked across the stage. And then the next day, we had another ceremony at the Chan Center at UBC. It was a much more intimate setting, so it wasn't as many people there. And I had a resolve to myself that I was going to do this time. I was going to do this. So when he walked across the stage, Deb and I both turned and looked at the stage. We went, "Hey, Chris!" I was so fixated on doing that, that I was trying to take a video of the whole time, but I kept on pushing on, off, as if I was taking pictures. So I didn't get a single footage of him crossing the stage. God wants us to be the greatest cheerleaders of our children. He wants us to be the greatest cheerleaders of our children. The Lord Himself has had a great example for us that way, as He Himself prays for us, intercedes for us, each and every moment. If children are to obey parents, they're to obey parents as if they would obey the Lord. If that is the instruction from Paul, then we as parents need to raise our children as the Lord would raise them. How would the Lord raise your daughter? How would the Lord raise your son? They're God's gift to us. And we only have them for a time. And so as fathers, we need to show and to lead them in the way of the Master. There's a parable that says this, and I'll read this to you. A parable is told about three fathers who each felt the soft hand of his child in his own and realized the responsibility of teaching his child about God. One felt the awesome responsibility that was his, so he taught his child about the power and the might of God. As they walked down the pathway of life and he came to tall trees in the forest, he pointed to them and said, God made them. God can cause them to come crashing down anytime he wants to. And as they walked in the hot sun, he said, this is God's sun. He made it. And he can cause it to be so hot and so intense that the plants in the field will wither and die. Again and again, he hammered home the power of God and how the child must be obedient to God. Then one day, he came face to face with God, and the child hid behind his father, afraid even to look, refusing to put his hand into the hand of God. The second father also realized his responsibility to teach his child about God. Hurriedly, he tried to teach all the important things he knew, all the important lessons in life. As they looked at the trees, they only stopped for a moment to gaze at them. As they looked at the flowers of the field, they hurried on by. He told stories about God, but they were hurried and they were crammed together. He filled the child full with facts, but he never taught him or her about how to live and to love God. Finally, one day at twilight, they came face to face with God. But the child only gave God a casual glance and then turned away. The third father felt the touch of a tender hand in his and adjusted his steps to the tiny steps of the child. They walked along, stopping to look at all of God's grandeur, all of his beauty and creation. They walked in the fields and they picked the flowers. They felt the delicate petals and they smelled the fragrance. They watched a bird in flight and another building her nest, laying on her eggs and sitting on them until they hatched. They watched all the beauties of nature while the father told his child stories about God over and over and over again. Finally, one day, in the twilight, they saw the face of God, and without hesitation, the child placed his hand trustingly into the hand of his heavenly Father. Fathers, do not exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. If I was just to summarize in one sentence, what is our role as fathers? I would say this. We're to take our daughter's hand. We're to take our son's hand. And we're to lead them in the way of the Lord. We're to lead them to the Lord. Some of us here today, we may have been scarred with father wounds. Wounds that have been inflicted on us by our fathers as we're growing up. And we still carry them to this day. We have not dealt with them. We have not gotten rid of them. Others have wounds that we've inflicted on our children, on our daughters, on our sons. But we don't have to hold on to these anymore, because the Lord has redeemed them for us. We just need to come before Him and be healed of them. So even in my own relationship with my son, the Lord is redeeming that through prayer, through confession, through forgiveness, and has brought about significant healing between us over the years. How do I know? Well, for one thing, my heart has changed towards him. And I don't get as angry, I don't get as frustrated, I don't get as impatient with him as before. And even though I do yell at him every now and then, I mean, what's a good father who doesn't yell at his son once in a while, right? I'm able to apologize when I wronged him. Second, I see the Lord redeeming our relationship because he's behaving differently towards me as well. Instead of being disinterested at my involvement in the church, he was actually very supportive of me during these last few months, during the candidacy period when I was being a candidate for senior pastor, and all that would entail. So we had some discussions about this. He even took my fashion advice when we went shopping for shoes together recently. He named me his beneficiary because I make less money than my wife. This is not a poke at the elders board, okay? Not a poke. It's just the truth. It really touched me. It really did. Because it showed me he actually thought about me and my well-being, to my surprise. I mean, someone has to be his beneficiary, right? Also, we've been going to see movies together, even without Deb. Before, we'd always go with Deb, right? We had to go together, but now I think we feel comfortable enough we can go by ourselves. Sometimes when we text him and we say that we miss him and we love him, he would text back, "Love you too." Oh my goodness. Where'd that come from? Other times, he would ask me if I need anything at the grocery store because he's at the grocery store now. These are not things that I've done, but they've been redeemed by the Lord. The Lord has redeemed our relationship and is redeeming our relationship. These text messages I will never erase on my phone. You see, we all make mistakes in life. We've all made mistakes in the past. We've said things and done things that we wish we could change. We wish we could take it back. But don't let that stop us from starting over again. The Christian faith, the Christian life, is a life of grace. It's a life of mercy. It's a life of compassion and love and forgiveness, just like that of our Lord. And it's never too late to be a blessing to our children, to our family, so we can bless them each day with our words and with who we are as fathers, as men. I ask the worship team to come at this time. As we sing our closing songs, I'd like to invite all of you to stand right now if you can. I'd like to invite you to stand and to ask the Lord to heal you of your father's wounds upon your life, which has been part of your life all this time, but you've been holding on to it. You haven't let it go. He's wounded you deeply. And you still feel the effects of his pain upon your life. Or could it be that you sense the Lord is asking you to come and to ask for his forgiveness for the father wounds that you have inflicted on your children, on your daughters, on your sons, or that your children has inflicted on you? We talk about father wounds, but we also talk about daughter wounds and son wounds upon our lives. So come to the Lord in this sacred time, in this space, in this day, that he may take these away from you and heal you, that he may redeem the broken pieces, that he may redeem the scattered pieces, that he may redeem the broken relationships in your life and in your family. So as we sing this, let's respond to the Lord, shall we?